Bibles to Romans chapter 11. If you're using a Bible under the seat in front of you, it's page 1304. Romans chapter 11. This is our final message in this series that we've called Paul's Eschatology. And we're going to wrap it up here in chapter 11. And I really need you to read along with me this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for giving it to us, Lord. You promised that if we seek you with all of our hearts, we'll find you. And we seek you in your word. Reveal yourself to us in your word. Let us see your plans, your wisdom. Instruct us this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. And you all said, amen, amen. Well, we've covered many important topics when it comes to last days from Paul's letter. He's told us about the characteristics of the last day society. He's told us about the apostate church. He's told us about the rapture of the church, the tribulation period. Paul gives us many details about the Antichrist of the tribulation period. He's taught us about the second coming of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is coming again at the second coming and will destroy the Antichrist. And Paul's given us lots of information about the church in our church age. But question, what about Israel? What about the Jew? Does God have a plan for the Jew? Does God have a plan for Israel proper, meaning the nation of Israel, the state of Israel? As most of you know, the nation of Israel was God's chosen nation in the Old Testament, right? The Jewish people are God's chosen people in the Old Testament. God sovereignly chose them. They didn't deserve it. They didn't earn it. God just chose them. And God sovereignly chose them to be the nation to whom he would give the prophets, the priesthood, the temple, the law, the scriptures. In fact, most of the New Testament was written by Jews. You realize that. God chose the nation of Israel to be the nation from which the Messiah, Jesus, would come. God gave all of these different promises to the nation of Israel about a kingdom age with their Messiah reigning and ruling. And yet, when Jesus came the first time, they rejected their Messiah. Israel rejected Jesus. Not all individual Jews, but the nation is represented by the religious leaders of Israel. And the church was born. God moved his program to the church. And right now, the church is comprised of believers in Jesus Christ from all over the world, both Jew and Gentile, but we live in the church age right now today. So what happened to Israel? Is there a future for Israel? You know, there's an insidious false doctrine that has made its rounds in some Christian circles. And it's a doctrine called replacement theology. And it's the idea that the church has completely replaced Israel. God is completely done with Israel, and the church has taken over. Is that true? Is there a plan for this state, this nation of Israel? Well, look what Paul writes here in chapter 11. Look at verse 1. I say then, has God cast away his people? What's the answer? Certainly not, exclamation point, right? For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people, whom he foreknew. And then look down at verse 5. Even so then at this present time there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So here we are in the church age. Has God rejected the Jew? Certainly not. It says there in verse 2, God has not cast away his people. There are believing Jews today in the church age, right? There are Jews who have received Christ. There are Jews who have become members of the church. Paul was a Jew, a rabbi, a Pharisee. But he became a Christian. The first disciples were Jewish, but they became Christians, right? The very first local church born in all of church history was born in Jerusalem, comprised of Jewish people that had become Christians. And even today, there are many Jews who have become Christians. Now, with the growth of the church, as you know, the overwhelming majority of church members are Gentiles. That's just how it's grown, because there has been a rejection from the Jewish angle, but there are Jews who have gotten saved. And I've met them. You ever met a Jew who knows Jesus? We call them Messianic Jews, completed Jews. Boy, you talk about firecrackers. Man. So God has not cast out the Jews. There's a remnant. And don't ever, ever, ever give up on Jewish people. Keep preaching the gospel to them in the church age. Paul said in Romans 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Okay, but what about the overwhelming majority of Jewish people over the last 2,000 years? What about the nation? What about that state of Israel right now that exists in the promised land? What about them? Well, look at verse 7 here in chapter 11. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, the remnant. And the rest were what? Blinded. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, to this very day, Paul says. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block, and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see. Now, those verses are describing the spiritual condition of Israel proper, the majority, the state, the nation, during the church age. And right now, the state, the nation of Israel, is under a veil of spiritual blindness. God has blinded them. It even says, verse 8, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that should not see. And I say, well, what is that? Well, this is a terrible, terrifying judgment that God sometimes pours out upon a people. It's something called judicial blindness. And the idea is this. Judicial blindness will come to a people who are given the truth time and time, time again. Evidence clearly presented to them time and time. And time and time and time again, they reject. They refuse it. Light is continually given to them. And continually, they reject it. It's not that they can't see, they choose not to see. And it's rebellious and it's wicked. Eventually, God will give that people over to this thing called judicial blindness. You won't believe. You refuse after all of the evidence. Okay, you get to a point where you can't believe. It's a scary place. By the way, individuals can experience that judgment. As an individual, you don't ever want to keep rejecting truth as it keeps coming down your way. You don't want to keep rejecting Jesus. It's been said, if you harden your heart over and over, God will eventually let you have your way. You want to sleep? He'll sing you a lullaby. Persist in your stubbornness and God will let you destroy yourself. When light is exposed to you, grab it. Receive it. Now, Israel proper is under that statement, that state of blindness. And see, when Jesus first came, Jesus was presented to the nation. Think of that. And the prophecies that were clearly fulfilled. I mean, Bethlehem. Born in Bethlehem. And then Jesus grows up and the way he teaches and the miracles that he performed. He healed the blind. He raised the dead. He healed the lepers, the paralyzed. He cast demons out. And despite all of that, Israel rejected him. In fact, at one point, the religious leader said, he's doing all the miracles by the power of Satan. Can you imagine telling the people that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is doing miracles by the power of Satan? They opposed him at every turn. They rejected him. And so you know what God did? He benched them. And he put a new player on the field called the church. And the church was born. And so right now in the church age, Israel proper's in that place of judicial blindness, although there's always a remnant. And you know, you see it. You see it. I've been to Israel several times. And you get a Jewish guide when you're there. And a couple times I've had a Messianic Jewish guide. And boy, is that fun. They're taking you through Israel. But most of the times you get a Jewish guide who's not a Christian. And I will tell you what, these guys know the Bible better than most Christians. They know the New Testament better than most Christians. They know all the sites. They take you. They point out. They cite chapter and verse. They know all the reference. Yet they will not budge. They will not receive Jesus. I was a part of a group of pastors who sort of ambushed a Jewish guide. We tag team against this guy, trying to get him, and we're sharing the gospel. We're taking him to the Old Testament prophecies, Isaiah 53, Psalm 22. We're trying desperately. And finally, you ask, I mean, what do you think about Jesus? And this guy said, I don't think about it at all. I'm not allowed to think about it. He said, the Jewish rabbis teach their constituency that it's a sin to even consider the messianic claims of Jesus of Nazareth. And that's the religious guys. And so by far, any Jew that you might talk to today would say, of course I don't believe in Jesus. I'm Jewish. There's a blindness. Okay. Current state of Israel in the church age. A blindness, and yet there's a remnant. Okay, is that blindness ever going to go away? Is Israel proper going to be saved? Well, look at verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? What's the answer? Certainly not. Exclamation point. But through their fall to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So the question in verse 11, have they stumbled in such a way that they're beyond recovery? Have they stumbled? Have they fallen and they can't get up? You remember that commercial. I've fallen and I can't get up. Have they fallen beyond repair? And what's God's answer? Certainly not. That verse, right there, tells us that there's coming a day when all of Israel will be saved. They've fallen, yes. It's tragic, yes. But they're coming back. There's coming a day when God will turn his attention to Israel. There's coming a day when all of those promises, literal promises made to a literal Israel in the Old Testament, will be fulfilled to a literal Israel in the future. That's coming. So yes, there is hope. Now, consequently, notice the interesting relationship that exists between the church and Israel in the church age. Verse 12 says, now if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So in this church age, Israel has fallen and it's tragic for them. But Paul says it turns out to be riches for the Gentiles. It's riches for the world. Why? Because this church, the worldwide church, which has made believers of every nation, tribe, and tongue for the last 2,000 years. Now, you need to understand something. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was commanded by God to be a light to the Gentile nations. That was their job description. They weren't. They didn't get the job done. By the time Jesus comes the first time, Jews won't even touch Gentiles. They won't even walk on the same stride of the street as Gentiles. There's no reach out to Gentiles. So not only did the Jewish people reject their own Messiah, but they didn't do the job they were called to do. So God called the church, a group of people that would receive Christ and that would take the gospel to the ends of the world. So it's a rich thing for us. Paul even says in verse 11, but through their fall to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come. The church is supposed to be something that provokes the nation of Israel to jealousy. They're supposed to look at us and get jealous of how good we have it with the Lord. And you know what, church? We have it good with the Lord, don't we? Man, if you know Christ, you're in a relationship with God. You know his peace, his mercy, his grace, his joy. This relationship that we have with him. And on the Israel side of the house for the last 2,000 years, in formal Orthodox Judaism today, it's cold. It's legalistic. There's no life. I've often wondered if we had Orthodox Jews at one of our services, just by chance, would they be jealous of the joy and the peace that they see here? I hope so. Now, we have it very good, particularly as Gentiles. You know, the church is mostly Gentiles. But listen very carefully. As Gentiles and as members of the church, we are never to disrespect the Jew. Ever. We are not to look down upon Israel. We are to treat Israel with great respect. We are to treat the Jewish people with great respect. And Paul wants to make sure we know that. He's going to give a little illustration that I want you to see, but first, let me just tell you what the illustration is before we look at the verses, okay? You have this cultivated olive tree, cultivated. That cultivated olive tree represents Israel. Then you have this wild olive tree over here, this wild growing olive tree that's over here. Those are the Gentiles. We're the wild things, okay? We're the Gentile branches. When the branches are broken off the natural tree, that's their rejection of Christ. They're setting aside for a while. And the Gentile branches are grafted in. This is the illustration. Now look what he says in verse 17. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, Do not boast against those branches. If you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. If God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. So Mr. and Mrs. Gentile Branch, be very careful how you consider Israel. You have been grafted in to this beautiful plan that began way back in the Old Testament. Christianity comes from Judaism. Gang, there's a connection. And so we are to respect all Jewish people. Listen, I think some of the darkest moments in church history, and it disgusts me to even think about it, is when the church persecuted Jewish people in the Crusades, the Spanish Inquisition. Silly Christians, and I do quote-unquote Christians, persecuting Jews, calling them Christ killers. Sometimes even killing them. That is completely missing it. I told you about this replacement theology. When you believe that the church replaced Israel and there's no future for Israel, a lot of times it makes the church persecute Israel. Martin Luther, a guy that I respect, the Reformation, God did amazing things, but he bought this replacement theology stuff. And you know, even at the end of his life, Martin Luther wrote some pretty anti-Semitic things in some of his books, which, by the way, years later, a guy by the name of Adolf Hitler included in his philosophy, taking words from Martin Luther, a Christian. Now, Martin Luther didn't mean that, but look what happens when you believe wrongly. Gang, we are to love Israel. Support Israel. Pray for Israel. Do whatever we can for Israel. Paul says, don't you be haughty. You're just a Gentile branch that was grafted in. That's something God began a long time ago. Now look how it continues. Look at verse 22. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell, severity, but towards you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. Now watch this. And they also, Israel, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted back in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you, Gentile, were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? Now that's brilliant. We got grafted into what God was doing as Gentiles by belief. When Israel comes back to belief again, the natural branches will be grafted back into the natural tree. And how awesome will that be? And one day, that will happen. One day, all of Israel will come back to Christ. Okay, so when? Has that happened yet? No, it hasn't. It certainly hasn't. Now, a lot of exciting things have happened in Israel. You know, all of the prophecies of last days, all of them, Old and New Testament, have a nation of Israel back in their land. They have a nation of Israel in control of Jerusalem. They have a nation of Israel speaking Hebrew again in their land. An official government, state, nation of Israel must be back in the land in the last days. And you know what? That hasn't been true for 2,000 years until 1948. In our generation, do you understand? Israel came back. And then in 1967, they regained control of Jerusalem. To me, that's the biggest indicator that we are living in the last days. All of the last day prophecies also indicate that when the nation is back in the land, they'll be surrounded by enemies on every side. Is that true today? Yeah, they're surrounded by people who want to wipe them off the face of the map. So there's exciting things happening with Israel concerning prophecy. However, they have not received Christ. They are in the land today in unbelief. And they are. They're blinded. I asked a guide once, you know, I have a little bit of Jewish blood in me on my father's side through his mother. Just a small percentage, but I asked my guide once, hey, do I have enough percentage to become a citizen of Israel? Would Israel take me? And he said, he asked me about my percentage, and he said, well, Hitler would have taken you. So we would take you. That actually chilled me to the bone. Hitler would have taken you. So we'll take you. However, you do know you'll have to convert to Judaism. They're anti, they will not, you can't preach Christ in Israel. You want to become a citizen there? You got to convert to Judaism. So yeah, they're back in the land, but they're in unbelief. When will they come back? Did you know Paul tells us in Romans chapter 11? Look at verse 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. Watch this. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until what? The fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Very clearly, the state of blindness rests upon Israel until when? Until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. Until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. When that happens, Israel will be saved. Now, this statement there, the fullness of the Gentiles, it's a measurement statement. It says there's a threshold. It's like you have a jug and you pour water and there's a threshold. And once you reach that threshold, something happens. It's a count. It's like there's a number. And once you reach this number, something happens. I believe there is a number that God knows. There's a threshold of Gentile believers that must come into the church. And once that happens, I believe the church is complete. The church age is over. And the church is removed in that thing we call the rapture. And then God turns his attention back to Israel. So when the last Gentile gets saved, at that moment, the Lord will come in the clouds and snatch away his church. Wouldn't that be cool if you were the one who led the last Gentile to Christ? Or maybe you're a Gentile holdout here this morning. Get on with it and give your life to Jesus. So we can all go home. Amen? In the mind of God, the church age is separate from Israel. And there's coming a day when the threshold is reached. The church is removed. In fact, you could really look at the whole church age as the big parenthesis. That's how I've heard it described. Israel, church, the parenthesis. The rapture, Israel. And gang, when the church is removed, God's attention returns to Israel. And this time of tribulation that's coming, this terrible time, it's the purification of Israel. Do you realize most of the people that get saved during the tribulation period will be Jewish people? I pray to God and I hope that many Gentiles will get saved. But from my understanding of the prophecies, Jews get saved. In fact, John speaks of 144,000 radical Jewish evangelists set loose on planet Earth. In Revelation, it talks about these two awesome witnesses that are Jewish witnesses in the temple. Many Jews will get saved. God turns his attention. And as you know, you get to the end of the tribulation period, and the world and the Antichrist is gathered against Israel and God's people right there before Jesus comes again. I believe all of Israel will look to Jesus at that moment. They will be saved. And when Jesus comes again, they're seeing their Messiah. Zechariah spoke of that day in Zechariah chapter 12. God says, I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me whom they pierced. Oh, listen to that. Old Testament prophecy. When Jesus comes again, the state of Israel, God says, they'll look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for the only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. Can you imagine an Israel reunited with the Christ Jesus that they originally rejected? You know, when he comes again, you'll see his wounds. The nation of Israel will turn to Jesus. Jesus will come again. He'll destroy all the forces of the end. And then as we talked about last week, when Jesus comes again, he comes to rule. There is a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ that's very clear. He reigns in Jerusalem. And at that time, folks, he is fulfilling all of the promises that he made to Israel in the Old Testament concerning the kingdom age. And there are hundreds of them. And then as the church, we come back with him at the second, and we reign and rule with him. God has it all worked out. For the church and for his people, Israel. And you know, God is just. When one team doesn't do the job, he puts the X team on the field. And when that's done, he goes back to the other team. He is just. And he has an amazing plan. I love how Paul finishes this chapter. Just look down at verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. And amen. Paul looking at this grand plan of God and says, oh, you're wise. Your knowledge, you're worthy. We humble, we accept. Are you a part of that plan? Do you belong? I mean, right now we are in the church age, and the gospel goes out. Christ died for the world, for the sins of the world at his first coming, and he rose again, and the offer of salvation goes out. Admit you're a sinner, invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and you'll be forgiven. You'll become a part of his family. You'll be a part of his plan. Now, don't reject that time and time and time and time again. You'll reach a point where you'll never be able to believe it. Paul always is urgent. The Bible always says, today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Get right with him now. I'd like you to bow your heads with me and let's all close our eyes together. Father, first of all, as your people, as your church, we pray for Israel. You've told us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And so together we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for our Jewish brethren. Lord, we pray for their protection. We pray that that remnant of believers would grow. Give us great skill and wisdom. Lord, we can't wait for that blindness to be lifted. Pray, Lord, that we would pray for them often. Think of them often. And then, Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who has not yet opened their heart to you. Have you responded to the call of grace? Have you responded to the gospel? Have you asked Christ to be your Lord and Savior? Have you become a member of the church? Are you a part of his plan and program? If not, I want to invite you right now, here in the sanctuary, or whether or not you're listening online, give your life to Christ. Surrender right now, just with this prayer. Say, Lord, I surrender to you. I'm going to stop running from you, and I'm going to start running towards you. I believe in you. I admit my sinfulness. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for me and rising again. Be my Savior. Take over my life. Let me follow. Help me to follow you all the days of this life. Let's stand, and as we all stand together,